Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, thank you, Brent. It's so great to be back on Empower Radio again. And, you know, I have to say we're grateful to all the good people that you have there who make this happen week after week after week. And I'm excited because I'm going to talk to a good friend of mine, Joyce Glick, who dared to return for another conversation. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I am doing just great. I have no idea where you are because I know you travel all over the world, going from place to place and thing to thing. And I think you were just at a training program. Were you the teacher or the student?
I was the teacher, yes. I was at Coaching Fundamentals and Mastery that I contract with SourcePoint Training, and they hold the nine-month course down in Arizona in Tempe, and we are at the mastery level right now.
Awesome.
And
well,
it's always a great adventure.
Yeah, that's a nice place to be. As you would guess from that remark, Joyce is a coach who works with all kinds of people, helping them move forward with their lives. And she actually finds, I think, a great deal of satisfaction. But I would dare to say more than satisfaction. You're passionate about the work that you do. Isn't that right, Joyce?
It is right. I am very passionate about it. And, you know, what I love, I just so much love about it, is watching the transformation that goes on when people take on new things in their life, whatever that is. You know, whether it's coaching, becoming a coach, or taking those tools into their business, or whether it's, you know, writing a book or losing weight, whatever it is. I just love the transformation that takes place in people when they really take ownership and take it on.
I hope during this program, Joyce, we can talk about a couple of people that you've coached that have had some wonderful transformations. And if we have time, I hope that that does happen. But let's back up a little bit, because coaching, at least from my standpoint, is relatively new. What is it about? I mean, I guess people have been coached since the beginning of time, but this concept of hiring someone to help you move forward with goals is relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's relatively new. It's relatively new in the mainstream, I want to say. I think that people have been being coached for probably the last 20 years. And really, everybody's had a coach. If you played any kind of sports when you were younger, or, you know, did dance or any acting, anything like that, you've probably had a coach on some level. Coaching nowadays is really about people moving forward in their lives and taking something on in a bigger way. It's just my worldview about it. So when somebody says, you know, I want to, you know, open a business, or I want to lose weight, whatever it might be, they step into a different space, and coaching can help you just keep moving forward. The accountability portion really comes into play. So you're accountable to somebody every week. You just keep moving forward. And I've seen huge transformations in a short period of time.
And do you think it's that sort of reminds me of Weight Watchers in a way, where you have to go in and get weighed, and someone writes down how much you weighed, and it keeps you focused on some of the smaller steps that eventually get you where you want to go. Would you say accountability is a major part of what happens between a coach and the person being coached?
I do. I think accountability is a big portion of it, and really, for me, besides accountability, the thing that keeps people moving forward is taking the action, because we all have big dreams. I mean, I've got dreams that I've never, you know, that I haven't ventured down and taken hold of yet. Everybody's got some kind of big dreams where they, you know, they really want to do something and they have this big vision of it. But until it gets broken down into smaller steps and you've got somebody supporting you and helping you get very clear about what your next action step, and then you actually go out and take those action steps, it's just a big dream.
You know, a lot of people that I talk to and connect with, especially on my Begin With Yes Facebook page, there's almost like two categories of people. There are people who are having a really difficult time trying to figure out what their dream is, what their passion is. They sort of come up blank when they ask themselves that question. And then on the other end of the spectrum are people that have so many dreams that they don't know where to start. And so both of them seem to get bogged down, though, one because they don't have a focus, and the other because they can't get a focus because they have so many things that they want to accomplish at once. And I would imagine you run into both kinds of people too.
Yeah, both kinds of people. And it really, coaching, from my perspective, helps people get clear about what actions they want to take right now. What is their biggest dream? What are they really passionate about? It's the standard questions of, if time and money and were not a problem, what would you do in the world? You know, what would you really love to take on and do? And I think what's really happened, at least in society in America, is we get so busy with our day-to-day life of, you know, going to work and just kind of going on autopilot that we forget we have these big dreams and that we really are much bigger than we think we are. You know, we can do much more, whether it's for us personally, whether it's for society, whether it's for the whole country, whatever it is, like we all have a lot more to give than we ever really give ourselves credit for.
I mean, Joyce, you and I have been chatting off and on for at least a couple of years now, and you know that one of the things I'm often talking to people about are those small steps. And, you know, that's what came up for me as you were just talking, because it's almost like the reality is life is very complex, and most of us are doing at least one job, possibly two jobs. If we're not working, we may be looking for a job, and that's a full-time job in and of itself. We've got young families or parents that we're taking care of, and life is very, very complex. And so the idea of setting aside time to pursue a dream, sometimes it gets pushed back on the back burner. And I believe one of the reasons that happens is because people feel like, if I'm going to learn how to play the piano, then that means I'm going to have to set aside 2 hours every day to practice, and I just don't have that amount of time. And one of the things I love about the small steps approach is that, I mean, you can make those steps as small as you have to in order to be able to fit them into your life, because no matter how small the step is, if you're taking it, then you're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And, it's true. It could be 15 minutes playing the piano, you know, twice a week. That's a step forward versus not taking any steps at all.
Right. Go ahead.
I agree with you on that it is just taking those small steps.
Yeah, and it's sort of fitting in your dreams into your life. And I often talk to especially people with young children, and they say that it's almost impossible for them to find any time for themselves. And
And
having had young children, I do get that. I do get where they're coming from.
Well, I think that any time that people take on something new, there are three common factors that always get in the way. Time, permission, whether it's permission from yourself or someone else, and money. Those are always the three barriers that are universally across the board that people will run into.
Yep.
And so it's always, you know, I don't have enough time, or I don't have enough money, or, you know, I got to check with somebody and make sure this is really okay. Whether that somebody is yourself, like, is this really what I want to do, and giving yourself permission. But I also think that, you know, when I talk to people that are in that kind of space where they're like, you know, I don't have enough time, I always, my big question to them is, you know, when is it time to invest in yourself? And especially young parents, you know, they, with kids and everything, they're in that parent role where they do so much. And mothers, young mothers, you find this a lot with, where they're such, you know, we turn into such caregivers. And we forget about our own personal needs a lot of times. And so that's, you know, there's a lot of work that can be done around that.
You know, part
of finding time for yourself.
Yeah, I think part of what happens is that we, maybe because we're exhausted or maybe because we don't stop long enough to think about it, but I think that we often don't ask ourselves the right questions. And, for example, in this case is that, you know, child care is running me ragged. I've got to worry about work and cooking meals. And so I have a problem, and that problem is not being able to find any time for myself. So the right question to ask is, what could I do to find even a half an hour twice a week for myself? And I believe if you can be that specific in asking the question, then you can possibly in conversation with others, but more likely just in your own mind, figure out how you could make that happen.
Mm-hmm. It is true. It is asking the right questions. And again, that's why a coach sometimes is great. It's because you can, they ask those kind of questions. You know, they intervene in that conversation that you have going on in your head of not enough time. And a lot of times, it's chunking things down into a small enough portion. So if you've got somebody who's a big vision person, mm-hmm. and they see all these possibilities, it's really about taking it and chunking their vision down into smaller and smaller portions. You know, okay, so, you know, what is it that you want? How are you going to know when you get there? Who do you need to enroll to support you in your dream? And what would have to shift in your world to create a little bit of time?
Right.
So those are some questions.
Yeah, and I love the concept of a little bit of time, because that's at least a place to start. And if you are investing a little bit of time in pursuing your dream, then at least you're out of the gate and you're beginning. Mm-hmm. You're making something happen. Do you find that when people finally do begin that they become a little more energized and begin to find more opportunities to make things happen for themselves?
Yes, it's really true. It is just about that whole, you know, you're begin with yes, just say yes to something and get moving. Because especially if you're passionate about it, I mean, if you've got somebody who's passionate about playing the piano and that's what they've always wanted to learn, and they're two times a week taking a half an hour or 15 minutes and they're playing, it could be a week later you come back and they go, oh, I started playing and, you know, I played for an hour. I enjoyed it so much. So yeah. People make time and they find money. And they get permission for the things that they're really passionate about and really, really want in life. And sometimes it's just that getting out the gate, like you said, just that first step of saying yes to it. And then all of a sudden, they've got all the time in the world for it.
Do you find that you have to slow some people down or help them sort of focus on a few goals if they have many, many goals, like they want to learn? Like, this is me. I want to learn how to tap dance, play the piano, learn how to do the flying trapeze, and write another speech and another book. And so if people have all those things going on at once, how do you approach that from a coach perspective?
Again, I would chunk it down. What if you had to take two of those things that were most important to you, which two would they be right now?
Okay.
You know, and then you sort of give
yourself permission to let go of the others momentarily, at least.
Yeah, at least for a minute. At least
right.
Just for a minute, and, you know, to take the steps on the other things. And, you know, again, you can plan those other things out. So you would have a, you know, let's plan out the other things that you want to do and when you're going to take those down. So it's, again, about chunking things down into smaller portions and then putting a plan in place of, okay, I'm going to do this for, you know, 2 months and see how I really like it. And if I do, great. If I don't, I'll let it go and I'll pick up one of these other things.
That's a wonderful point, because one of the things that I've discovered for myself that's happened is that sometimes when I give something a try, that's something that's been in the back of my mind for a long, long time, I discover that, truth be told, the passion really isn't there for that. Or it just doesn't have the same attraction that I thought it would once I've actually invested in it. So it allows, by doing some of these things, you also sort of find that you can let go of some things that are cluttering up your mind of dreams, and then refocus on something else. And even that's like progress. Being able to let go of something is a step forward.
Right, it is. And sometimes it's that letting go, or as I like to say, being complete with something. And when you get complete with something, so let's say that I have a list of things to do just around my house, and I've got that closet that's sitting over there that's packed full of stuff, and I keep saying to myself, boy, I need to clean that closet out, I need to clean that closet out. And somewhere in the back of my mind, even though it's not a high priority, it's always there cluttering up my mind.
Right.
And so when people find completion with certain things, whether it's taking something on and finding out they don't necessarily like it or aren't passionate for it, or whether it's cleaning that closet out, when you release it, let go of it, and get complete with it. So I might say to myself, you know what, that closet's never going to get cleaned out, and I'm going to let that go. I'm complete with it, and I'm done. It's never going to get cleaned out. And what happens is when I give myself permission to let it go or be complete with it, completion opens up the space for new energy that you can focus towards something else.
Joyce, do you coach yourself?
I actually, I like to consider myself a very good self-cleaning oven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really good at cleaning certain things up. I can process things very quickly. I know my stuff. I know my baggage because, you know, we never get rid of our baggage. It's always with us. So I'm very good at cleaning up my own baggage, but I do have coaches. Most coaches that are very good coaches have coaches. So I have coaches that I get coached by that keep me focused and moving forward, too.
Interesting. You know, there are people listening to this, and one of the things that I had intended to talk a little bit about are people who either are not ready to get a coach, or money standing in the way, or time, or they don't know a coach. But I wanted to talk about a few things that you could suggest to people that could get them at least moving.
Okay. Well, I think there's a couple of things, and let's see. One would be to start with a purpose every day. And by that I mean, you know, you can wake up and go, okay, my purpose today is to be a great mother, or my purpose today is to make 5 people happy. So really, when people live on purpose, they're much more focused in life, no matter what that purpose is. So, you know, you can have a life purpose, but what I'm saying is a great step is to write down, this is my purpose today. Today my purpose is to go to work, get off on time, whatever it is, whatever your purpose for the day is. That's one really great step. And again, like I said, it can be something as, so my favorite one is to make 5 people smile a day. And the reason I love that is because it kind of keeps me grounded in smiling at people and being engaged with life and being mm-hmm. very aware and paying attention to people and what's going on around me. Another thing I would say is, that tags on to the end of that purpose, is to, at night, write down 3 things that you were grateful for during the day, and to be, you know, just gratitude. You know, I'm grateful today that my boss was in a good mood. I'm grateful today that the kids came home from school and completed their homework. I'm grateful today that, you know, my husband made dinner for me. And then also checking in on your purpose. Did I make 5 people smile today? And really getting very clear about, oh, you know what, I did make 5 people. And acknowledging yourself for the being on purpose and for taking action in the world.
Are you a list person? Do you make
a
lists?
A what person?
A list person.
I am a list person. I am a list person. I am very analytical, surprisingly enough. Most people would not know that about me. But when I test out, I am very analytical. So.
I love to make lists because I love crossing things off.
Yeah. It's a great way to acknowledge yourself for being complete with something during the day. You know, it is. And the thing about lists is, you know, people have these lists, but the thing I would say is always go back in and acknowledge. Look at everything I did today. Because I think as human beings, we don't acknowledge ourselves enough.
That makes me laugh, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but sometimes when I'm working with my list, if I've done something that wasn't on my list, I add that to my list and then cross it off.
Yeah, I do. Because
I just want credit for having gotten that done. So if it wasn't on my list.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's a great thing to do. And it is. It's a way of acknowledging yourself for the things that you've accomplished. And I would venture to guess there are a lot of tools out there. One of the tools that I usually start a lot of people with, especially if they're in the time zone, you know, they've got not enough time. We do what we call, it's an old thing that's been around forever. It's called the pie of life. And what I do is have them track everything that they've done for a week, and then we put it on a pie chart to see where they actually spend their time. And most people really have no idea where they spend their time in all reality.
Or
they don't have an idea.
When they discover where they are spending their time, they realize they actually would have a lot more time to be putting someplace else if they would stop doing the things that they've been doing.
Right, yeah. So it's a very, it's a great way for people to get clear about the time thing that most people have come up. You know, they see that, oh, I spend, you know, 85% of my time at work and 2% with my family and none on myself. You know, I'm not going to not do anything. So that, once people kind of have that visual that they can see, oh, geez, this is where I spend my time, because in our heads we can make up, oh, I spend all my time with my family and doing this, and, you know, I spend equal time everywhere. In all reality, our life never equal out that much. And so when people can see that they spend a lot, let's say a lot more time at work, and then they can make the choice of, oh, you know what, for me, I need to cut down some of my hours and spend more time with my family, that would, you know, really make me feel a lot better. It would make things go smoother for me at home. It would make it easier on my wife, whatever it is. When they have that visual of where they spend their time, things, a lot of times people find time that they didn't even know they had. You know, oh, I spent 10 hours in front of the computer this week, you know,
yeah.
Or 20 hours, you know, and that time could be used something, as, you know, as time for themselves to play the piano.
Absolutely, and sometimes those things do get away from us. I want to talk for a minute about people that are depressed, clinically depressed. How do you approach someone like that?
Well, the first thing that I would do is make sure that that person was getting the kind of therapy or counseling that they really needed. Especially if they are clinically depressed. And a lot of times a good coach will go in and work with the therapist or counselor and tag on, because therapy and counseling really deals with your past and what's gone on and, you know, what's triggered you to go into that depression. Coaching really deals with moving forward. And so if you've got a great relationship with a therapist, or if your client is so inclined, you can bring these two people together. And most therapists and coaches work really great together. They can just kind of mesh in together. So one's dealing with the past, the other one's moving forward, and it really can create a very nice thing. Again, with people that are clinically depressed, as long as they're getting, you know, what they need, whether it be medication or therapy or whatever, I would say with them, it is just about doing that one small thing every day to say yes to something. So whether it's, yes, I'm going to get up today out of bed and make myself breakfast, and that's all they do, it's still a yes in their life. So they're doing something. And it is about that activity. I find that people that are clinically depressed have a tendency to withdraw, stay in the house a lot more. You know, they kind of shut down externally. They might go through life going to work and doing what they have to do to get by, but once they get home, they kind of shut down. And so I think it is those small steps that can help them just move forward. Maybe it's saying yes to having coffee with a girlfriend that you haven't seen in months, or, you know, just yes to something small. And in those small increments, I think, in the beginning, yes, I'll have coffee for a half an hour.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things I learned when I was writing Begin With Yes, we're taught that we should have a positive attitude and that we should be more optimistic. And so we many times set that up as the thing that has to happen before we take action. And many people aren't very optimistic or aren't very hopeful. And one of the things that I think you just said that resonated with me is that creating a little bit of discipline to doing something even though I don't feel like it, doing something even though I really am scared, doing something even though I really am depressed. And they can be really, really little things, but it's that action. It's almost like the feeling or the attitude we've been taught should come first, but I sort of believe that it's the action that can come first, and then some of the feelings and attitudes more often than not begin to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's that old saying, "Fake it till you make it."
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that in any way other than sometimes that's what we do. Because we have been taught that, you know, we have to be so positive and so happy and everything, when in all reality, that's not how life is all the time. I do believe that every grown adult on some level has gone through a depression in their life. You know, it's a natural process. It's not a process. I think if society's made it this big, no thing, people shouldn't be depressed, and if you do, it's a problem. When all reality, I think that life at times, And as normal human beings, we go through depressions. It's a normal emotion. You know, it's a normal thing that can happen. And, the trick, I would say, is not getting stuck there. It just saying, you know what, this is normal. Everybody goes through it. And, okay, you know, gee, I don't really feel all that pretty today, but I'm going to get up and, you know, curl my hair and go have coffee with my girlfriend for a half an hour. And then just doing it for that half an hour, if that's all you can handle.
You know, I'm sure people listening, and one of the beautiful things about Empower Radio is that people can listen from all over the world. So literally, people are listening from all over the world. And you may have, this conversation may have given somebody or many people a glimmer of hope. And I want to close, we just have a minute left, but I want to close with you sort of giving some the people that are listening, you know, sort of a hopeful, sort of encouraging next step kind of message, if you could.
Well, you know, I just think that everybody should really, again, it's just about being in action and saying yes and understanding that we're all just human beings here. And, you know, there are, for every person out there that's depressed, there's probably five more people in the room feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. And you're never alone. You are just never alone where you're at in the world. And make sure that you reach out to someone.
Joyce, I always, always love talking to you. And the other reality of talking to you is that our time goes so, so fast. So 30 minutes is already up. And we're going to have to say goodbye to each other. But whenever we say goodbye, it's only goodbye for now. Because
That's
we
right.
keep circling back and stay in touch in a million other ways. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate it.
It always is a lot of fun, and I know you'll be back on Empower Radio with me one day again real soon. So you have a great weekend coming up, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right, thanks.
Bye, Joyce.
Bye.
Thank you all for listening. It's been another wonderful conversation. I love having you join us every time on Empower Radio, and we'll be looking for you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.